Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's message is the gospel reading from St. Matthew, the 8th chapter. What is faith? That's a good question, wouldn't you say? Christian faith isn't some abstract human optimism such as you gotta have faith or something that says you can do anything you want if you just believe in yourself. Christian faith is a response to the gospel of Jesus Christ. The first words of Jesus in the gospel of St. Mark are this: the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Thus faith is always in something. But believing in yourself isn't going to get you to heaven or take away your sins. A faith that saves is a faith that believes in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Christian faith has been called an organ of reception. It receives the promises of God in the gospel and believes them. Echoing Ephesians chapter 2, where Paul talks about the gift of faith, a now sainted seminary professor described faith in this way. He said, faith is the arm that reaches out and holds on to the promises of God. And it is God who creates this arm, and it is God who gives you this arm by His grace. While optimism and trust in earthly things might come from within us, saving faith is a gift from God. To acknowledge and believe that Jesus is the world's Savior and your Savior is a gift from God. As we confessed today with Luther, I believe that I cannot believe, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. One of the components of faith is trust. Now, for example, every time you go over a bridge, you are putting your trust in the engineers and contractors who built that bridge. If you had reason to believe that the engineers or the contractors were incompetent, you'd probably take a different route. Christian faith trusts in the ways and things of God, especially what God has done for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Trust in the ways and things of this world will eventually disappoint and eventually lead to death. But God is faithful. God is true to His word, which is why your Christian saving faith is never in vain. Now, Christian saving faith is a gift from God. It is a gift of the God of love and responds to God's love with acts of love. Thus, saving faith is evident by what it does. And above all, it seeks Jesus. Christian faith desires to worship Jesus, to praise Him, and it turns to Him for help in times of need. And your greatest need is to be right with God. For our greatest threat is the wrath of God, His just and righteous anger against sin. But faith goes to Jesus, for Jesus is our escape. He is our rescue. He is our Savior. For in His blood and only in His blood is the wrath of God satisfied. And you are made one with your Heavenly Father. Christian faith recognizes that although God is present everywhere, His salvation is located in the incarnate flesh of Jesus. So in faith, Christians come to where Jesus is found. And He's found here. Here in this place. Here, Jesus gives your faith something sure and certain to grasp and cling to, His incarnational presence in His Word and in His body and His blood. To forgive sins and strengthen faith, Jesus is here to give you what He gave to the world on the cross. So in our gospel reading for today, we see two great examples of faith. We see what faith is, and we see what faith does. After Jesus finished His Sermon on the Mount, He comes down to the mountain, and He's met by a leper. A leper comes to Him, kneels, and prays, "Lord, if You will, You can make me clean." Here we see what faith does. It comes to Jesus for help. There in the flesh of Jesus is where the grace and mercy of God are located. God doesn't locate his grace and mercy for sinners in the rocks and the hills and lakes of nature or in the houses built for recreation and leisure. He locates his grace and mercy in the flesh and blood of Jesus. So that's where faith goes. So that's where this believing leper goes. He goes to Jesus. And in the leper, we also see that faith is trust. Faith trusts that God, who knows everything, will do what is right and best for the believer. Yet this faith is a humble faith and prays, "Thy will be done." Now, when it comes to earthly matters, we may think we know what is best. I know what God wants for me. But faith trusts that God knows what is best. So the leper comes to Jesus in faith and humbly prays, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." Humble faith acknowledges two things. One, the sinners deserve nothing from God but his just and righteous wrath for sin and rebellion. And two, that God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. Christians who think that they deserve better from God or that God should insulate his people from trials and tribulations are lacking a certain trust and humility before our Heavenly Father. For we deserve nothing good from God's hand for our sins. And we often completely fail to recognize all the good that God does do for us. All the things he gives us by his grace. You remember what Jesus asked of his Heavenly Father in the Garden of Gethsemane? "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Jesus, the only righteous man who has ever walked the earth, made no demands from his Heavenly Father. Instead, Jesus humbly yielded himself to his Father's will and said, "Thy will be done." And he did so for us and for our salvation. So the leper prays humbly, "If you will." And Jesus says, "I will." It was God's will that the leper be healed of his earthly affliction. But when it comes to our spiritual health and life, we never have to pray, "Thy will be done. God, if it's your will, please forgive me. God, if it's your will, please give me more faith." Jesus on the cross demonstrates that this is God's will, that he desires to give you Jesus for your salvation, that he desires that you have a strong faith, a faith that can resist the temptations of the devil, a faith that will endure until eternal life. But I should note that there is a paradox regarding faith. A weak faith thinks it's strong, only needing Jesus now and then, maybe at Christmas and Easter. A weak faith doesn't have a true picture of the lethality of sin or the reality of God's wrath against sin. So a weak faith doesn't recognize how weak it is. But a strong faith knows how weak the believer is without Christ. A strong faith is a faith that knows the power of sin. A strong faith acknowledges God's righteous wrath and seeks to find refuge where God gives refuge, in his Son. A weak faith is hesitant to crucify the sinful flesh on a daily basis. It would rather live in godlessness before man than in godliness before God. But a strong faith understands that the cross comes before resurrection, that our sinful flesh must be crucified before we can be raised anew. A strong faith then understands that suffering is how God often crucifies the flesh in each of us so that he can give the new man a daily resurrection and life before him. Which is why the Apostle Paul can say, "I rejoice in my sufferings." Well, continue with our text. Jesus marvels at the second example of faith in our gospel reading. The faith of a Gentile, of a centurion. A centurion was a Roman officer with authority over 100 men, equivalent more or less to our captain in today's military ranks. They obeyed his commands because he spoke with the authority of the Roman government. Now, you might see a bunch of rowdy kids at the mall and be tempted to straighten them up and tell them to behave, but they'll probably laugh at you because you have no authority over them, but you dare not disobey a Roman centurion. Thus, the centurion understands the power of the word when there is authority behind those commands. Like the leper, though, the centurion comes to Jesus for help. He goes where God locates his grace and mercy. But this centurion's faith is also active in love. He goes to Jesus, not for himself, but for the plight of a beloved servant, a servant who is suffering a great deal of pain. And yet this powerful man comes to Jesus in humility. For in faith he recognizes that Jesus is no mere man, whose word can accomplish little in the face of infirmity and affliction. But this man's faith recognizes that Jesus is Lord, that he is God, whose word has great authority over the created world. He says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." You can see why Jesus marveled at this man's faith. "Truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith." The centurion understands that as representative of the Roman government, his authority came from Caesar. And so people obey his will. Yet before him stood one whose authority comes from God. For Jesus was sent by his Father to do the Father's will. And as God, Jesus has authority over all things, even sickness and death. Because Jesus is God and comes from God, his word is the word of God and accomplishes what it says. It is unbelief that despises the word of God, but faith clings to the words of Christ, for they are the words of God that give eternal life. And so Paul writes in our epistle, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, the Jew first and also to the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." Jesus speaks and it happens. He speaks and the storm is stilled. He speaks and demons go back to hell. He speaks and water becomes wine. He speaks and the dead live again. He says, "Your sins are forgiven," and they are forgiven. He says, "This is my body and my blood," and it is his body and his blood. Faith doesn't make this happen. It is the power of the Word of God. Joel Osteen says that your faith empowers God. Well, there's nothing further from the truth. God creates and empowers faith through the power of the gospel. And faith responds by trusting the promises of God. A faith that believes in Jesus and trust his word is saving faith. And Jesus marvels at such faith. The kind of faith that God has given you through the gospel. The only virtue that Jesus ever praises in the New Testament is faith. And he does so twice. And on both occasions, it is the faith of Gentile believers that he praises. The Jews bragged about their works and their heritage and their connection to Abraham. And because of this, they didn't need Jesus. They rejected him. and his person and his work, which prompts Jesus to say, I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. However, the centurion's faith isn't in himself or his works or his heritage or his connection to Abraham. As a non-Jew, he wasn't worthy to even have a Jew come under his roof. Jesus marveled because here was true faith, one that humbly clings to Christ and Christ alone, one that fully trusts in the promises of God. All that this man has to offer Jesus is his sins. And that's what Jesus wants. For Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In the gift of faith, we come to Jesus, where God locates his grace, his love, his mercy and his forgiveness, and his word of life and truth. We come to Jesus in humble faith, trusting that even though we are sinners, the blood of Christ washes away our sins and gives us access to God, our Heavenly Father. In faith, we bring our loved ones to Jesus, lifting them up to our Savior in prayer, knowing that for the sake of Jesus, God hears and answers our prayers according to his wisdom. And in humble faith, we humbly submit to the wisdom of God. If we didn't have this faith in Jesus, we wouldn't come to him. We wouldn't come to him with our troubles and our afflictions, with our worries and our sins. But we do. Because God has given us a gift of faith, a faith that seeks Jesus and rests in him. May God always give each of us a strong and humble faith that recognizes that in our human weakness and sin, we daily need Christ and his gifts. And that through God's gift of faith, he counts us worthy, worthy to recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at the great banquet that is eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand.